So now we are going to hear from God's word and reflect on that. And the first of all, Christ is risen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's Easter. It's the season of the church's celebration of our Lord's glorious resurrection from the dead. And the passage that I'm preaching on tonight is from Acts chapter 5. In this time after Easter, I'm going to be preaching through the book of Acts, the Acts of the risen Jesus, as the baby church exploded into life in the wake of Easter and Pentecost. So the passage is from Acts chapter 5, verse 25 to 32. That's what I'm going to read, but I'm also going to refer to parts before and after that. So the apostles, Peter and the others, have just been put in prison because they have been preaching publicly in Jerusalem that Jesus is Lord and that he is risen from the dead. And they get put in prison this one time after they heal a guy who had been lame for 40 years, and then they're back in prison, but they are brought out of prison by an angel. Then someone came to the Sanhedrin and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than people. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you pour out your Holy Spirit on your people. Thank you for the joy and the transforming power that the risen Jesus brings into people's lives. We pray that your transforming power would be at work in us as we hear and meditate on your word. In your name, amen. Now, sorry about this, Abby. I'm just going to flick over to that one. You've blanked it.
Frederick?
Control B. Try. Don't think so. Small technical problem. That's okay. I think I can begin. We'll wait for the tech man. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Sorry about that. We're using various different... All right. If this doesn't work, I'm just going to have to... Oh, look at that. Press present. Thank you. And press back arrow. Thank you. Hooray. Thank you, Frederick. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, the Baptist preacher and civil rights activist Martin Luther King Jr. once said these stunning words, "A man who will not die for something is not fit to live." A person who will not die for something is not fit to live. Now, as all of you know, Martin Luther King Jr. himself paid with his life for his civil activism, for his non-violent resistance against the powers and principalities of the time that were keeping his people in the United States subjugated. What is worth living for? Abby, could you go forward? That this quote from Martin Luther King, and also the passage that we have read from the book of Acts tonight, asks three important questions. And I think that deep down, they are questions which everyone really wrestles with. The first one is, what is worth dying for? And very closely related to that, thanks, Abby, what is worth living for, on the other hand? And to kind of sum all of those things up, the real question is, what is worth fighting for? As we look at the Apostle Peter, we get a really good answer to those questions that each of us struggle and wrestle with. And Abby, if you can go to the next slide. Thank you. As we look at Acts chapter 5, there's this amazing contrast between the pre-Easter Peter and the post-Easter Peter. And if I was to do something really silly like, you know, Brad and Angelina become Brangelina, we could have the pre-Easter and the poster, but that would just be really stupid. Let's have a look at the pre-Easter Peter. At least some people laughed at my joke. Thank you, Daniel. What does the pre-Easter Peter think is worth living and dying for? And if we look at Peter before the death of Jesus, it was all about his reputation. It was all about his pride. It was all about his personal safety. Peter is the apostle who, when Jesus said, "Every one of you is going to run and hide because I'm going to be killed," Peter said, "No, Lord, I am willing to go to prison and even to death with you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, before the cock crows tonight, before the rooster signals the dawn, you will deny three times that you knew me." Peter's pride was one of his precious possessions. He thought that he could do it. He thought that he could stand by his Lord and stick with him through the tough times, and he wasn't able to. This is the burly fisherman. Oh, just go back, hit the back arrow. No, sorry.
This one.
Yes, that's right.
I'm so sorry.
This is the burly fisherman who was terrified by a servant girl in a courtyard. The lowest stratum of Jewish society at the time, the weakest of the weak. And when she said, "Hey, weren't you with Jesus the Nazarene?" Peter denied it with an oath. His personal safety was paramount in the pre-Easter Peter. He didn't want his own skin to be harmed. This is the Peter who said that he was willing to go to prison and death, who swung a sword at a random stranger in the garden and chopped off his ear, trying to protect his own self. And then he did deny his Lord three times. Thanks, Abby. The post-Easter Peter, The post-Easter Peter appears to be a completely different person. Is this even the same guy? Let's have a look at what he's like in Acts chapter 2. Thanks, Abby. The post-Easter Peter is concerned with preaching that Jesus is alive, that the one who they took and killed on a cross is now Lord of all, the one who gives repentance and forgiveness to Israel. This is a man who is willing to stand in the temple courts and proclaim that his master is risen. And if you look back in Acts chapter 3 and 4, you find out that Peter has already been to prison once, and now he's gone to prison again, and an angel has come and set him free and commissioned him once again to go and tell people the message of this new life. Peter says this to the most powerful man in the whole of the Jewish religion, the chief priest, the high priest of the Sanhedrin. "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." What? Is this really the same guy who cowered before a servant girl? Who tried to save his own skin? Who ran when it really counted? Standing up boldly in front of the Sanhedrin, the most powerful council in the whole land, and saying this kind of thing? Well, in a sense, yes. It's the same Peter, but in a sense, no, because he's been transformed from within by the forgiveness and the grace of the living Lord Jesus. He's been changed into a different person for whom his pride and his personal safety and his own things are no longer the most important. Now, the most important thing, the thing that Peter says is worth living and dying and fighting for, is a message of new life. It's not about Peter anymore. It's all about the risen Jesus. Peter has met with his Lord. Jesus has commissioned him 3 times. 1 time for every time that Peter denied him. Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Tell them this good news, that I'm alive and that my forgiveness transforms the life of all who will put their trust in me. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs." And this has transformed Peter. It's no longer about him. He doesn't care if he goes to prison. He doesn't care if he lives or dies. All that matters is that he can share the good news that Jesus is risen. That's what's important to him now. And that through Jesus, everyone can have access to God's forgiveness through repentance and through faith in his name. Thanks, Abby. So, what is worth fighting for? Well, for Peter, it's the message of the risen Jesus. It's the gospel of the forgiveness of sins and the transformation and the power that comes through the Holy Spirit. If we look a little bit further on in this passage in Acts, we find something very interesting being said. And it's Gamaliel's wisdom as he speaks to the Sanhedrin. What is not worth fighting against? Listen to this from verse 33. "When the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, 'Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared,'" I think I got that right, "'claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Thanks, Abby. What's not worth fighting against is the power of God. The forgiving and redeeming and embracing and restoring and transforming power that comes through the risen Jesus. And as you fight against that, if you're fighting against it. God relentlessly pursues until he can embrace with his love and with his forgiveness. It's a very interesting piece of advice from Gamaliel. Don't find yourself fighting against God. Gamaliel thinks Jesus is dead. He thinks that this whole movement is going to disappear within no time at all. Just like with these other two guys who led the revolt against the Romans. He doesn't realize that, in fact, what Peter is proclaiming is the truth. That Jesus is alive. That death has no power over him. And that his power is at work in Peter and the apostles. Thanks, Abby. One more. And I'm not quite leaving the last words with Martin Luther King Jr., but what he says here I think is very pertinent. He says, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant. What's not worth fighting against is unarmed truth and unconditional love and the life that God gives through the risen Jesus. Thanks, Abby. I'll click on to the next one. So what is worth living for? Do you ever find yourself wondering that as you wake up a ridiculous hour of the morning and think, what is worth getting out of bed for today? What is the point? Why am I doing all this? What is worth living for? What's worth living for is the message of this new life that Peter proclaims, the transforming and forgiving and renewing power of the risen Jesus, the forgiveness and the new life that he freely gives to all people, the power of the Holy Spirit at work not only in Peter's life, but in our life. Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. No, that's not right. I've got the wrong chapter. It's Ephesians chapter 3, no, Ephesians 1, verse 18 to 21. Paul writes, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Did you hear that? God's incomparably great power for us who believe is like the power that God exerted in raising Jesus from the dead. And in raising Jesus from the dead, he gives to Peter and to you and to me new life that can never be taken away. I have a friend who used to be an atheist and became a Christian after a while. It was a long story, lots of prayer, all that stuff, yeah. It was cool. And I said to him, his name was Nathan, I said, Nath, what happened? You're an atheist, you became a Christian. He said, your God was bigger than my no God. May the power of the risen Lord Jesus be at work in your life. May his forgiveness ensure you of God's grace. May his resurrection life be transforming you from the inside out. Amen.